91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. From Union Terminal to Vaccaro Tower and City Hall to Fountain Square, some places are just part of Cincinnati's landscape. The Cincinnati Preservation Association wants you to help pick the city's 50 top historic buildings and sites. We're going to talk about the effort, which will be part of an exhibition at the Cincinnati Museum Center later this year. Then later in the hour, the teenage brain. How does it really work? First, joining me to talk about Cincinnati's historic places are Cincinnati Preservation Association Preservation Director Margot Warminski and Executive Director Paul Muller. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon.
Happy to have you both here on this cold day again in February.
Thank you.
I'd like to start out talking a little bit about your organization. I think people may have heard of it, maybe not, but you've been around for a while now, 50 years. Tell us a little bit about it. Paul, we'll have you start.
Yeah. Well, we were started in 1964 by a group of very civically minded women who felt that the area really wasn't protecting its historic treasures. So they created what was then called the Miami Purchase Association. In the mid-90s, we changed our name to reflect a sort of broader concern with the city. But we're really happy to be sort of inviting the public into our 50th year celebration by finding out what people really value and love about the architecture of Cincinnati.
Margo, anything you'd like to add about that organization?
Mm-hmm. Oh, just that I've been here for 14 years and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the work that you've done in the past. It started out, as you said, in 1964. What sorts of things has the organization done early on?
Yeah. The very first effort was to save the archaeological resources at Shawnee Point. A utility plant was going to go in and destroy them. And Miami Purchase was founded to sort of protect those. And since then, we've been involved in the restorations at Memorial Hall in the 80s. Our members were instrumental in founding the group that saved the Museum Center. And more recently, we've been working with the Land Bank on stabilizations of important buildings. And, you know, instead of tearing them down, the Land Bank has a program that can stabilize them and help them not fall down until we find a good use for them.
And I just like to add to that that our work with the Land Bank in our 50th year is appropriate because it represents the evolution of preservation over the years from saving iconic sites like those at Shawnee Lookout to great buildings, some of which we moved to our then museum village at Sharon Woods, to protecting urban neighborhoods and to becoming stewards of the whole urban fabric of the region.
So, well, I guess with that you sort of mean like over the Rhine and all the various buildings there. It's not like you're looking at one building, you're looking at a whole neighborhood. Is that what
Yes.
you mean?
The best way to save a historic building that's threatened is to try to save the larger neighborhood.
Well, how do you go about that? That's a pretty big project. It's more than just looking at one particular building.
Yeah, but fortunately, there are really massive demographic trends that support this right now. People want to return to cities, both in Cincinnati and throughout the country, and they want that sort of authentic experience that you get when cities are layered with time. And so all of a sudden, these buildings go from being a problem or a liability to something that is really highly valued. We're seeing it all over the city.
Not only for the people that want to live there or work there or have a business there, but for the movie sets, our movie sets that want to come to town, it seems, as well.
Yeah.
Have you worked with those folks as well? Or?
Yeah, we do. We've talked to the people who are bringing Carol here about some sites. One of the interesting things about Cincinnati is we have an urban fabric that is a little bit different than all of the other Midwestern cities. You know, we were built in a basin, and when that development hit the hills, the rims that, you know, form around downtown, they couldn't keep going, so they went up. That's why we have that much more dense urban 19th century structure than, say, Columbus or Louisville, Indianapolis.
Really? How much higher did they go?
Well, you know, instead of 2- and 3-story buildings, we have 4, 5, and in some cases 6. And they're still there. Fortunately, you know, when urban renewal came in, it hit Cincinnati at the edges. Because, it, you know, 75 and Interstate 71 wiped out an enormous amount of historic resources. But the middle was protected because you couldn't put interstates up those hills.
Now, in order to save buildings, that costs a lot of money. What do you talk about in terms of funding? What do you do to help people that maybe really do want to save a building but just don't have the money to do it?
Well, there are a couple of different approaches. And one, this is a great time of opportunity for preservation, but it's also a time of great challenges because, as you probably know from reading news stories, there's an awful lot of public money that's going into demolition, clearing vacant and blighted buildings and neighborhoods. And there are various reasons for that. One, cities have been losing population for many years, and then the foreclosure crisis and the reception. It was like a perfect storm for a lot of neighborhoods that were struggling. And a lot of buildings are getting torn down, and some of them are highly significant. We need more money to stabilize and repair buildings. Fortunately, both the city and the land bank, which Paul alluded to, both have great programs for saving historic buildings from demolition by stabilizing and repairing them so they can be saved for future development.
Yeah, a couple of examples of that. In Walnut Hills, the Hamilton House is this magnificent little townhouse on McMillan. It's next to the Harry Hake Fire Station. And Hamilton House was scheduled to be torn down. There was a contract written, and the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation and some other organizations came together and stabilized it instead. And now it's being redeveloped as a pizza restaurant and an office building. In Saddamsville, Our Lady of Perpetual Help had a demolition contract. And working with the community there, we got the city to change the demolition money to stabilization. And now that's protected, and we're looking for uses for it.
Now, when you say stabilization, does that mean making sure the foundation is solid? Does that mean making sure the building's safe? What all is involved in stabilization?
Margaret?
Yeah, it's not a full restoration, but it saves the building from future deterioration, fix the roof, keep the water out, keep the vandals out, keep it dry and stable and secure so somebody could, at a future date, step in and renovate and reuse the building so it can go back on the city's tax rolls and contribute to its revitalization.
Who owned these buildings as you're trying to save them? Are they just private owners or are they owned by the city?
Sometimes they're private owners, and sometimes the land bank is stepping in and taking title to tax-delinquent properties. That's going to be a really powerful tool that will do a lot of good for the city. One of the other funding sources for this is the tax credits that are available. And these are really powerful to us. The federal tax credit is available on commercial properties, and there is a state tax credit program. And we've actually been helping people get some of that. And it can be up to 40% of the total project cost, which you were talking about. You know, these are more expensive to renovate. Those are things that Congress decided to do a long time ago, and the state legislature in Ohio did, and they see an enormous return for their investment. When those tax credits go and restore a property, they get jobs, they get new businesses, and they get properties back on the tax rolls.
We're going to talk about your project to try to name the 50 historic buildings and landmarks in Cincinnati in just a moment. I'd like to invite anyone who'd like to call in and tell us what you think is a building that you'd like to see on that list of the city's top 50 top historic buildings and sites to give us a call. Our number is 513-419-7100. You also can email talk@wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter. We're going to go now to Jim from Green Township. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks. I think the building on top of my list, and I have a sort of a interest in it, is the Union Terminal Museum Center. And I know there's, you know, been a lot of talk about how can we handle it, or, you know, what's the best thing to do with it. I'm a volunteer down there. I was a volunteer in the Cincinnati Museum for about 10 years, and now I volunteer up at TARA, the headquarters of the Cincinnati Railroad Club. And people who don't know about TARA are pleasantly surprised. They get up there surprised. They get up there at 5 stories or 6 stories above the track and look out and see just, you know, the vast amount of railroad trackage. And then we also have the original map of the terminal trackage for when it was a passenger station.
Well, and, Jim, thank you so much. We're going to count that as a vote for the Union Terminal.
Right.
Thank you. We appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. Our number is 513-419-7100 if you'd like to add a name to the list. You know, in talking about Union Terminal, and I have to admit I moved to town in 1985, and there was that was sort of about the time all this was happening, and I don't know that I followed it as closely as I might have had I been here a longer period of time. But let's talk a little bit about what happened. What was the plan for Union Terminal? Was it going to be torn down?
It came very close. And the problem was its sheer scale. You know, everyone has recognized that that building is a treasure, not just to the city, but to the entire country. Architecturally, it's magnificent. And now with the museum center out there, you know, I think the region recognizes how important it is and the value it brings. But at the time, they just couldn't find any uses that were large enough to take
advantage. Wasn't it a shopping mall at one point?
I think that was one of the sad periods of it, yes. But I think we're going to get it right. And I have a lot of confidence that, you know, the people of the county and the city are going to be really good stewards with that project. It's in our interest to get to do that. And I think we'll find a good solution for it.
Yeah, Union Terminal was named by the American Institute of Architects as one of the 100 greatest buildings in America. And it's also a National Historic Landmark, which is the highest designation by the federal government of important historic sites. And a plug for Cincinnati, we have more National Historic Landmarks than any other city in Ohio.
We're going to go now to Matt in Sharonville. Hi, Matt. What's your comment today?
Oh, hey. I just wanted to point out that I'm a plumber, and we're working in the Hawk family summer home out in Sharonville,
mm-hmm.
and we're completely renovating it from the basement up to the very top floor. And it's a pretty amazing place. I don't know if it's on your list or not.
Well, tell us what's special about it.
The architecture is amazing. It's an old Victorian home. Their original house was in Mount Auburn. This was their summer getaway, because I guess back then it took a while to get from Mount Auburn out to Sharonville. But it's got round turrets, beautiful buttresses, and we're taking all the trim out, refinishing it, putting it back in, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place for a family that made their fortune bottling and distributing beer here in Cincinnati.
That's great. You're taking care of it out there. We know the project, and you're doing a magnificent job. You know, Cincinnati Preservation Association owns another Hauck House on Dayton Street. And it was where we had our offices for a long time. Now we use it for programs on how to treat your own historic building and educational programs. But
Matt, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it and enjoy your work.
Thanks, Joe. And we do every day.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Pat's calling from White Oak. Hi, Pat.
Yes, I have something to nominate, a building.
Okay.
Yes, it's 9th and Plum. Right across from the courthouse. Or, I'm sorry, everybody calls it the courthouse. Right across from City Hall.
What building are you talking about?
Hibernia Hall. I believe that your organization documented this back maybe in the 70s, because there is some paperwork on it. It's at the preservation office at City Hall.
Is that true? Have you guys done work with that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it probably was recorded on an inventory of historic sites that we commissioned back in 1978.
Okay.
And updated it. Yeah, I'm familiar with that building. That's a fine work of architecture right across from City Hall. It's a good anchor for that block, and it's historically significant because of the Hibernians.
Yeah, the building is almost 150 years mm-hmm. old, but there's a lot of history there.
All right. Well, we thank you for your suggestion.
Sure.
Take care, Pat. Brenda is calling now from Hamilton. Hi, Brenda. What is it you'd like to nominate?
Hi. Well, my ancestors were the first settlers in Boone County, so I'm long, long-term Cincinnati area native. The mosaics that came from Union Terminal that are now in the Cincinnati airport, I work out at the airport, and in Terminal 2, those beautiful mosaics are sitting there, and no one is getting to see them. I don't know what the plans are for those, but I'd like to see them put in a place of visibility.
Paul?
Well, it's a great nomination, and it shows that historic resources are not just buildings. You know, we consider landscape sites and major works like that. What's happening with those is the airport is going to be demolishing Terminal 1 and Terminal 2, and we're engaged in a process with them to find a location for the murals in Cincinnati. And right now, one of the likely sites would be the convention center out in the hallway. So
But that takes money, right? Isn't that the problem right now, is just finding the funding to do that?
Yeah, we're working through both the technical issues of moving them. You have to be very careful with these. They're really one of the largest secular mosaic series in the world, and they have to be moved very, very carefully.
Well, some of them are still in Union Terminal, right? And they all started out there. Is there just not room for them all to remain there? Is that?
They were part of the concourse that led back to the tracks, the gates that you would go to. That was torn down. And Cincinnati Preservation organized the move of the original murals to Union Terminal. And now that, you know, Terminal 1 and 2 are going to be torn down, we can actually return some of these to Cincinnati. And really, it's a great idea because not everybody uses airplanes. So much more, a larger section of the population will get to experience them.
Brenda, thanks so much for your call.
I have just one other thing.
Sure.
All the beautiful Rookwood tile in Carew Tower. I wish we had more to offer for people to come in there to really appreciate those. That's my last comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment today, as we are talking with the Cincinnati Preservation Association's Preservation Director Margo Warminski and Executive Director Paul Muller about the top 50 historic buildings and sites in Cincinnati. Jan's calling from Western Hills. Hi, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. I've got a great one for you. I think that the landmark of Mount Echo Park and the Stonewall and Overlook. During the, I think, FDR's administration with the WPA program to help people out of the Depression that didn't have jobs, they had local workers put the wall in there, and it's a tribute to the people of Cincinnati, and it's just a beautiful view of Cincinnati from the west side.
All right, Jan, you got that one on the list there?
We have quite a few parks already on, and that one is not on yet. But I love the connection she made to the people that did it and the history of it. That's one of the reasons we want to do this. It's not just the buildings, it's the stories, and it's the connection to how they were created, who cared about them, and what they mean to us now.
Jan, thank you.
That too, because my grandfather was one of the people, and he was a pipefitter at the time and very proud, and the people came there, and he was, it said that he took the first piece of stone and he held it up to everybody and he said, "We are not doing this for charity, we are working for America." He made that statement, and so I'm proud every time I go by knowing that, you know, people from Cincinnati, from the west side and greater Cincinnati made that wall.
Jan, thank you, we certainly appreciate it, and thanks to your grandfather too. Our phone number, 513-419-7100. You can also email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And speaking of Twitter, Britt just tweeted the Emory Theater. What is the status of the Emory Theater right now? Do you guys have anything directly to do with that, or is it?
No, we don't. I think the university and the people they've leased to are talking and trying to work something out. It's a magnificent building. The housing part of it was very successful. I think, you know, we need to keep that theater and get it back into use.
All right. I got another call here. I'm not sure who it is. Hi, can you hear me? You want to talk about Mount Echo Park? Hello? Somebody wanted to talk about Mount Echo Park Overlook. I hear you there. You're on the air. Yes, go.
Hello, this is Dan Driehaus.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, I actually was not calling about Mount Echo Park, but I'm happy to talk.
Okay.
I was calling about the Union Terminal.
Okay, very good.
I just tuned in. I'm sure it's been mentioned before, but the last gentleman who spoke mentioned he wanted a personal story to go along with the historic landmarks, and I thought I'd add one.
Great.
So the Union Terminal, a group of friends and I were out in Washington, D.C. for the Millennium, New Year's Eve, and we were looking out over the mall when we had a party out there, and we said to ourselves, boy, it would be fun to get a group of people in Cincinnati together to have a New Year's Eve event in the Rotunda, because it's such a magnificent space in Cincinnati, and we did that. So we came back to Cincinnati, and for 3 years between, I think it was 02, 03, and 04, we had a New Year's Eve event, and just some wonderful people were involved with that, from Dave Allen over at Elder High School, and about 40 different people on the host committee, and the event was just to celebrate with Cincinnati in the Rotunda, and we had a great time there. So it's a beautiful space, and today I've got young kids, and a lot of people on the committee do, and we bring our kids to the museum. And we happen to, in our living room, have a architectural drawing of the rotunda or the Union Terminal on our wall in our family room. So just wanted to add that tidbit from my perspective.
Dan, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, take care. See you.
Leanne is calling from Avondale. Hi, Leanne.
It's Loanne.
I'm sorry. Hi, Loanne.
That's okay. Hi. I would like to nominate the Belvedere Condominium. I think it's important to recognize domestic architecture along with the architecture of the wealthy and the public architecture. And it's an amazing building. It's, I think, one of the oldest apartment buildings in Cincinnati. I think it's the first solid masonry apartment building.
Where is it located?
On the corner of Reading Road and Clinton Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it has a beautiful Italianate lobby.
Well, you might be happy to know it is on the list. Someone nominated it a few days ago, and it's getting votes. And I hope people will go to the site and vote, because
we should let you know that you can vote. There's a link on our website, wvxu.org. Go to the Cincinnati Edition page, and you'll find a link to get to the page to vote for your top historic buildings in Cincinnati. How many votes can a person cast?
Up to 50.
Up to 50. All right. So you can get 50.
And it's actually easy to submit a new one, too. And a lot of people are putting interesting information about it, like the Belvedere. There's some really good history.
Loanne, thanks so much for calling.
Thank
we appreciate you. It. Take care. Mary Louise is calling from Fort Mitchell. Hi, Mary Louise.
Hello there.
What would you like to nominate?
I would like to nominate the old Rubel Bakery Factory. We used to live in Avondale on Mellish at that time. And every morning we would wake up to the wonderful aromas of the bread baking. And this is part of our German heritage in Cincinnati, and I think it would be something wonderful to remember.
The Rubel Baking Company. All right, they've written it down. I see it here, and we'll see if we can get that on the list, and maybe you can go on and cast a vote for it. Thanks so much for calling.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Celeste is calling from East Walnut Hills. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
What's your question?
I was calling in regards to domestic architecture to follow up, actually, on what Loanne was saying about less, you know, grand homes and buildings in Cincinnati. I think that one of the things that is fantastic about Cincinnati and is one of the reasons I moved here in the early 90s is that domestic architecture has largely been preserved. But in the last 5 years, I would say that the neighborhoods that have suffered the most have been residential neighborhoods like Mount Auburn, Coryville, University Heights. Those neighborhoods have been devastated by the destruction of turn-of-the-century and early 20th-century homes. You know, that architecture is just as important as the big landmarks that have been slated for destruction in the past and that we've barely saved. You know, I appreciate the Emory as much as anyone. I want to see that building saved, but it doesn't matter if our neighborhoods themselves are being torn apart by higgledy-piggledy development and destruction of perfectly usable homes.
Well, you know, that's a really great point. And Margot mentioned earlier that this transition that's happened in preservation to looking at a neighborhood level. This summer, we're bringing Donovan Ripkema to Cincinnati to do a mapping of assets and opportunities in several neighborhoods. We don't know which ones yet, but it's a way of looking at where the opportunity is for revitalizing and figuring out what kind of strategies are most effective for those. So we expect that to be a really big program we'll have this summer.
Celeste, thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
We did have John tweeting saying the mushroom in Hyde Park is an option there. Is there a house that looks like a mushroom? I'm trying to remember what.
It's an architect's office.
There you go.
And actually, it was Terry Brown. He was my former partner when Terry and I moved here to Cincinnati in 82, and he did that.
Well, there you go. So the mushroom in Hyde Park gets a nomination. Also, I'm sorry, Margaret.
Fascinating building. I wrote an article about it once.
And Mike emailed the stones from the old Chamber of Commerce, which are now a sculpture in Burnett Woods. So there you go. And from Rachel from Taylor Mills says, Nippendorf Lodge in the Cincinnati Nature Center.
It's up there, and it's very high. I think it's third or fourth right now. A lot of people like the Nature Center's buildings.
Joe from Westchester. Hi, Joe. What do you have in mind?
The building I had in mind was Longworth Hall, down just before you cross the river along 75. I was on a crew that used to clean that years ago. And the building was actually originally the B&O Railroad warehouse, and it was 200 feet longer than it is today. But when it was finished, it was, I think, about 25 or so feet longer than the height of the Empire State Building. And if you go to the second floor, there's just a small, narrow hallway off of the main hallway, and there used to be a plaque with an arrow marking the high water mark from the 1937 flood.
All right, so Longworth Hall on the list. Joe, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. If you want to get in on our discussion, the number is 513-419-7100. We're talking about picking the city's top 50 historic buildings and sites with from the Cincinnati Preservation Association, Preservation Director Margo Warminski and Executive Director Paul Muller. We had another tweet. This is from Elliot, who would like to see the Carew Tower painted and wants to know your thoughts about that.
Margo and I are looking at each other.
I think you've stumped him on that one.
The Carew Tower is a magnificent building. I think the architects intended it to be the yellow brick color that it was, and I certainly think that's a pretty good choice for it.
You don't anticipate any changes there. What about the idea of, you know, some folks have called in talking about houses and neighborhoods and other ones, big buildings and places. How do you decide, though, especially with a home, at what point is it just somebody's home and it's famous or well-known because somebody famous lived there versus something that really is architecturally interesting? And do you ever have trouble deciding, is it important because of its history or important because of what it looks like?
You know, you have to really step back a little bit from preservation and just think of it in a much broader sense of caring for the really good stuff we have. And so what makes you think it's good could be, you know, sitting on the porch and the way the sun comes through the balustrades. But on a technical level, for buildings to be on the National Register of Historic Places, they can be on them because they're associated with an important person or an important development in American history. Or they can be on it as a great example of a particular style of architecture. And most of the ones that we deal with are on there for their architectural reasons. We do have some in Cincinnati that are important because of their historical associations, such as the creation of the civil service in a building in
Pendleton.
Brenda's calling from Evanston. Hi, Brenda.
Linda.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to nominate the Eden Park Band.
Bandstand? The gazebo? Okay.
We'll add that.
All right. I'm going to get now to Linda in Clifton. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hi, Paul. This is Linda Goldenhar.
Yeah. Hi, Linda.
Hey, how about Finley Market?
It's on there. You can vote for it.
All right.
I'm on there now. I just wanted to say it out loud.
All right. So you can cast your votes for Finley Market. Linda, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, we want to remind people that they can cast votes till when? How long is this open?
I think April 4th or 5th.
April 4th or 5th. So you want to get there now. We have a link on our website, wvxu.org. You can go to the Cincinnati Edition page. I want to thank you all for being here. We have a couple calls we are going to get to. Pendleton Arts Center, Kennedy Heights Arts Center, as a couple of other options. And if we didn't get to your call, I apologize. We had more than we could take today, but you can cast your votes on the site there. So take a look at that. We've been talking about Cincinnati's top 50 historic building and sites. My guest, Cincinnati Preservation Association Preservation Director Margo Warminski and Executive Director Paul Muller. In a moment, we'll talk about the teenage brain. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.